I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Triple Threat Sports Radio 610, hour number two. I'm Paul Gallant. No Sean, no Ted. Rich Lord is here, though. We were up at Twin Peaks in Shenandoah. All due respect coming up at 320. Keeping tabs on everything NFL free agency-wise. Keeping tabs on the NCAA tournament. If any game gets particularly close, we will go right to that action. You'll be able to hear it right here. You'll be able to hear the NCAA tournament tonight in place of my time slot, Gallant at Night, on Sports Radio 610 as well.
Three finals, Rhode Island eliminating Oklahoma, Tennessee ousting Wright State, Gonzaga defeating North Carolina Greensboro, less than a minute to go in a 1-16 matchup, and Kansas is about to eliminate Penn of the Ivy League. Two other games in progress. We'll keep you updated on the scoreboard throughout.
Really interesting for a second on Kansas and Penn. A lot of people were, for whatever reason, picking Penn to beat Kansas.
They were
first the 16 over a one seed.
Yeah.
Seth Greenberg, I believe, on the March Madness pregame show going into the first broadcast. I remember I was pouring myself a cup of coffee, and I saw Greenberg say that, and he said, "You'll never have to hear from me again. This is my lock. Penn over Kansas."
Come on, a lock?
Yes, lock.
A historical 16 over 1
lock.
For the first time ever?
Lock.
A lock?
Yes, isn't that crazy?
That's ridiculous.
There was enough buzz about Penn beating Kansas to get me to a point where I was like, you know what? There's too many people talking about it. If it's going to happen, no one's going to see it coming. So I picked Kansas.
Wow. Well, I actually did read something about Penn going into the Ivy League final, and I don't remember the name of the kid, but I believe they've got a kid, or maybe it was Harvard. I'm not sure. But they may have a kid that turned down, like, North Carolina and Duke and a bunch of other places
Nerd.
To go there. So that may be the reason why he felt that way. It's now a final, and it's about a 20-point win.
They were so close.
Yeah.
To beating the spread of 13.
They didn't.
They didn't even do that.
Penn is done. KU moves on.
So the Rockets have a game tonight against the Los Angeles Clippers. They're playing out the string at this point. I think it's pretty safe to assume that given that the Golden State Warriors had a 30-year-old birthday party for Steph Curry and didn't show up for practice on Tuesday, that the Warriors are not very concerned about getting the one seed by the playoffs. I think the Rockets have pretty much locked it up.
Yeah.
I saw a tweet yesterday from one of those Rockets blogs, and I do think that basketball Twitter tends to be a tad sensitive compared to everybody else. But Red94 tweeted, "While I realize the Rockets are on track to be the first non-Warriors number one seed during the years of Golden State's reign, what I'm most interested in right now is Texans' second-string cornerback options," which I think is a tad hyperbolistic. Here's what I want to say on
that. Yeah, that's a reach.
Look, the end of the regular season in basketball is one of the things that's most frustrating about basketball, baseball, hockey. The seasons are very long, and you get to a point where there's nothing more you can learn about the Rockets. What are we going to learn about the Rockets tonight? Really, the only thing that we might learn about is if the Clippers somehow know about some, I don't know, back into the locker room passageway that they can use in turn to re-siege the Rockets locker room or something like that. Outside of that, there's really not a whole lot at stake in this game or to learn in this game.
We know everything we need to know about the Rockets, and quite frankly, much like the Warriors, all that matters is they do not suffer a major injury over these final 15 games.
I'm annoyed by people that want to have a conversation about a basketball team that is the best in the NBA, and we're not going to learn anything about them until the playoffs begin. And then the playoffs begin, we'll learn how Mike D'Antoni handles his rotations. We'll learn if they actually use a Gerald Green or a Brandan Wright or some of the other guys, Ryan Anderson, if he's healthy. Like, we'll learn a lot of things then, but I don't think there's really a compelling conversation. The Texans, who are a mess, and what they do in free agency or what they don't do in free agency, much more compelling conversation in my book, and I think for most of the people listening.
I would agree with that, but the immediacy of what's happening with the Rockets, and again, we're going to have to wait until the Western Conference Finals.
That's the worst part of the whole thing.
Really, Sam, what's that, early June?
Yes.
So we got a ways to go before we're going to find out what the Rockets are capable of. But what I do like about this team, though, is, you know, mostly by necessity because of injuries. They legitimately have 12, maybe 13 guys that are quote-unquote rotation guys. And that's not how you win in the NBA, especially in the playoffs. And that's not how Mike D'Antoni has
done. I mean, last year in particular, people were mad at him because would not put Sam Decker or Montrezl Harrell in that series against the Spurs. Guess what? Sam Decker and Montrezl Harrell weren't winning you that series, but it is granted that he does not typically have a big rotation.
Right. The rotations get shorter in the playoffs, and his get really short.
Right.
Historically. So the thing I'm probably, among many things, one of the things I'm most looking forward to is to see if the strategy that's gotten them to what is it, effectively with the tiebreaker, a 2.5-game lead on the Warriors at the moment, will continue in the postseason, or will he shrink things again?
I think he'll go to like 9 or so. And again, this assumes health, but I think that there will be certain game situations, say it's close late, that they might think about putting Joe Johnson in as a scoring option before a timeout or something like that.
But usually when the rotation shrinks in the postseason, it's a matter of trust.
Yep.
The games mean so much that there's only a certain amount of players that a head coach trusts, you know, being on the floor in such an important situation. I'm not sure that applies to this Rockets team right now.
Really? I look at the whole roster. Okay, think about the guys on the bench. You got Bamute, you've got Ryan Anderson, you've got Eric Gordon, and you've got Nene. Those four guys are definitely going to play. You got your starters. You got Ariza, you got Tucker, of course, that are going to play a lot. Harden, Chris Paul, duh. Capella, duh.
Right.
Those nine, I think, are locks. After that, I think it's going to vary game to game.
Joe Johnson, Gerald Green.
Right. And Gerald Green might be the odd guy out in all this because Gerald Green's gotten a lot of DNPs this year. And you would think, okay, well, you'd play him a little bit more, especially with the way that he first came onto the scene. But I think that Gerald Green's an option that you go to either in a blowout or if you're injured. And I don't know if Brandon Wright's going to play a whole lot because we haven't seen much of him. And
I feel like he's injury / foul trouble insurance.
Exactly. He's someone you can put in for a little bit if Clint Capella is like in deep foul trouble or something like that, so you don't have to play Nene a million minutes or something like that. But I think that they're going to go with 9 or something, and that's it. And we'll learn more about them as the season goes on. I for one, do feel that the team that is more compelling to talk about right now, and I think that most people would agree, or this Texans team that are a mess and not doing anything in free agency. And, of course, we'll keep you updated on everything that they are doing over the course of this show. I did want to talk about the San Antonio Spurs really quickly, though. The Spurs, I don't think they're making the playoffs.
Doesn't look like it.
And I'm tired of people at our station, and Seth was doing this with me on Tuesday, acting like they're this boogeyman, that they are no longer. I mean, we'll see if Kawhi Leonard is back on the court tonight and if he can actually turn things around. But they have two easy games the rest of the way. And by easy, I mean they should win them.
Right.
The Lakers and the Kings. The rest of it, they're playing the Warriors, they're playing the Rockets, they're playing all sorts of tough
teams.
Yeah,
they're not going to the playoffs. I believe the number is 18. Years in a row, they've won 50 games. They have to go 12-2.
Yes.
To win 50. It's not going to happen.
Happening.
That streak is over. And if I'm not mistaken, they've made the playoffs 20 years in a row.
Yeah. Yeah, because, you know, some of the seasons where they didn't get the 50 wins involve strike-shortened seasons, but it's felt essentially like they've gotten 50 wins if you multiply the percentage by 82 that they've had for those seasons. It would have been.
And those two numbers are stunning. They point to a level of excellence almost unmatched in NBA history, although the Bill Russell Celtics are obviously the gold standard.
It does help to have 6 teams.
Right. That does help a lot. But this is crazy what they've been able to do over the last couple of decades with Pop.
Yep.
I'm obviously surprised that these streaks are likely to come to an end. But I got to tell you, what I found most compelling was on a telecast, it might have been the last game or the one before that, Bull started talking about how Pop, in midseason, about 15 games ago, started fundamentally changing how his team plays offense, and they are looking more like Mike D'Antoni's Rockets in terms of their offensive strategy and what they want to get done on that end of the floor. And that's not been the Spurs.
Right.
If Popovich has come over to the dark side, that's big news.
Ginobili and Tony Parker are dribbling the ball up the court. Like, I can't imagine them playing an up-tempo LaMarcus Aldridge, a player like him. I can't imagine that
either.
I mean,
the Rockets are on the way to proving this season that the three-point shot's the most important shot in basketball.
How do you think that Charles Barkley feels about all of this? One of the benefits that I've had in doing the Gallant at Night radio program is that typically these Rockets games are on at the same time as me. Right. So I'll watch them on the TV on AT&T Sports Southwest, and I'll see it, but I won't really get a real good visual on it. And I also will miss these TNT broadcasts as well.
Yeah.
But I have found that watching the broadcasts, whether it's AT&T Sports Southwest broadcasts on mute while listening to podcasts, or on mute on TNT while listening to podcasts, especially the halftime show side of things,
right,
I found that I've learned more about basketball.
I understand.
I'll leave it at that. By the way, speaking of that broadcast, can you believe that Clyde Drexler is going to be a commissioner of the Big Three?
Well, at least his second coaching experience went better than the first one. Right? Last summer, I believe he was one of the head coaches in this Big Three, three-on-three basketball league. I don't even know how his team did. All I know is he didn't quit on his team.
Right? Yeah.
Like he did at U of H.
Or like he did on every single Rockets broadcast that typically is out there. I mean, I actually watched a Rocket broadcast earlier this week, and I was wondering, hey, well, what's Clyde's role? Oh, we're not hearing a whole lot of Clyde. But Clyde's like apparently sitting in a crowd with a microphone, and all of a sudden they're like, hey, Clyde, what do you think? And they're like, well, the ball is on the court. And they passed it around.
Yeah.
Back to you guys.
Back to you, Bill.
Yeah.
Yes, he failed as a coach, and he's a failure as a broadcaster. You'll get no argument from me on that. If this means he's off the Rockets broadcast, and I'm not sure it does. I don't think it does.
I mean, he will
not be missed.
Commissioner, he's going to be the commissioner of the Big Three. And if you don't know what the Big Three is, it's a three-on-three basketball league founded by Ice Cube. Features mostly retired NBA players. Meta World Peace, Amari Stoudemire, Glenn Big Baby Davis, Nate Robinson, Baron Davis. Allen Iverson tried it for a little bit. He wasn't very good.
Allen Iverson was supposed to play, and on the day he was supposed to make his debut, he said he was unavailable on the advice of his doctor to play, and I believe someone posted a picture of him in a casino the same day.
Well, he was unable. He had to feed his gambling addiction.
Iverson's blown a nine-figure fortune.
Yeah, I feel for, well, I actually don't. No, I don't feel for these guys. I wish I had the ability to spend stupid amounts of money and then have regret and file for bankruptcy. Because at the very least, I'd have had a really good time just throwing money all over the place.
Iverson's biggest mistake was thinking he had Floyd Mayweather Jr. money. He didn't. That's a guy who can do whatever the hell he wants.
Can he, though? Because hasn't he filed for bankruptcy? That idiot, by the way. Yeah, Floyd Mayweather, I feel like, has. Yes.
Really?
I feel like Floyd Mayweather is like, he's been behind on checks before. I don't know which kind of checks. That guy's an idiot. It angers me so that he is very good as a boxer, because he is the epitome of stupid, and the money team is stupid, and so are all the followers. I don't understand how you idolize that guy. He can't even read. It is the triple threat on Sports Radio 610.
Real quick, my favorite, just as we end this conversation, my favorite part of the Clyde Drexler thing you mentioned about the Big Three and him becoming the commish, he is replacing Roger Mason Jr. I think you mentioned that.
Yes.
And Roger Mason Jr. told TMZ, it's not true what I've been accused of. Roger Mason Jr. has been accused of corruption.
There's corruption.
Define corruption in the Big Three.
There's corruption in the Big Three. Some guys are throwing games. People don't pay enough attention for there to be corruption.
Define corruption in the Big Three. That's what I want to know. But Roger Mason Jr. has, in the wake of his termination, denied that it's because of corruption.
The more that I think about it, though, the more that I think about it, no one would be looking for corruption in the Big Three. Or maybe even looking at the Big Three.
Yeah. What's their attendance like? Did they draw flies? I know the very first night they drew like 15,000. But where did it go from there?
I honestly don't know. I didn't watch it. I wasn't intrigued at all. I heard it was disappointing. That's Rich Lord. I'm Paul Gallant. No Sean, no Ted. But we are up at Twin Peaks in Shenandoah. We are watching all of the March Madness. Come by and say hi. Up next, we've got All Due Respect. I have a very embarrassing story from last night that I'm going to admit on the air. And it's something that does have a little bit of a PSA at the very end of it. Triple Threat Sports Radio 610.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.